Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Junk Baller Podcast. My name is Michael Greenwood, and I'm here with my good friend, as always, Kevin Otterbein. Kevin, how you doing?
I'm doing good, man. We're, more than a third of the way through the season at this point, so...
Yeah, I think they've played more than a third of their season.
Yeah.
Before we get into baseball,
yeah,
let's introduce our special guest, who is now the only guest we've had two times. Wait, no, do we have Nichols two times?
No, just the once.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then you are also our first guest
on
the podcast.
Two times?
I would like to welcome Taylor Hernandez to the Junk Baller Podcast. Taylor, welcome.
It's good to be here again, boys. Thank you for having me again. Yeah. It's good to be the first twice in a single swoop. So
yeah,
happy to be here.
Yeah. Before we get started, I would like to make a disclaimer based off the last time we had you on the podcast. I made a mistake when in the last podcast that Taylor was on, Kevin and I, we did the all-time fantasy draft. Mm-hmm. And Taylor drafted Tony Gwynn on his roster.
Correct.
And that, what we did was we posted it on Instagram and we had fans vote for who had the best team. And I made the mistake. I put Tony Gwynn Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that affected the podcast or the results of the fantasy teams.
Oh, absolutely.
So I just wanted to make a disclaimer that those results are not accurate. And I apologize to Taylor for this. I thought about this the other day when I was texting you. I was like, oh, yeah, I really messed that up. Because Tony Gwynn and Tony Gwynn Jr., while Tony Gwynn Jr. had a good, decent career, he's okay, he's not Tony Gwynn.
Mm-mm.
So I just want to apologize and make a disclaimer out to all the fans for that.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. I will be waiting for my trophy in the mail.
Well, we can do a new vote if you'd like. I can put out a new vote.
It's fine. It's fine.
That was our longest and still most viewed podcast, I believe.
Hey.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah. It was a good episode.
Yeah.
But yeah, third away through the season. And you know what happened today?
Yeah.
For the first time since last year. I don't know what time last year.
Mm.
The Rockies won a series, but not only won, they swept.
Yeah. First time since May of last year where they swept a series, and that was against the Padres of all teams.
Oh,
and the first time they've won a series since September against the Diamondbacks.
I feel like we need like the air horn sound effect.
I don't know if we have that effect, but that'd be a sick effect if we have. Well, there's so many like that it just makes adjustments to your voice. Like it'd be like, oh, like I don't know. Don't test. I don't want to do it. No, but it'll like echo and all that. But. Yeah, you know, they have the worst record in all of history so far, but they just swept the Marlins. I mean, the Marlins, are they the lowest of low now?
I think the Pirates might still be.
We might talk about that a little bit later.
Oh, really?
Something kind of in that realm.
Oh, so. Okay.
Because the Marlins are one of the few teams that haven't swept a series this year either.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess they played 2-2 against the Pirates. It was 2-2? They didn't win that. They say they haven't swept a series.
They haven't swept a series.
Oh, okay,
this year.
Yeah. That was 4-1. The 3-1. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, they haven't swept a series.
No.
That's the only. Are they the only team?
No, Pittsburgh hasn't either.
Yeah.
And I think there's one other team I saw, but I forgot who they were.
The White Sox swept the Red Sox.
Yes, they did.
Have the Orioles maybe? Because they didn't have. They had 1 3-game win streak. But I don't know if
was it 3 consecutive games against
I don't
the team?
Know. They're so bad.
Yeah.
Is there a more disappointing team than the Orioles?
In a while, I can't think of one. They're back to where they used to be.
Yeah.
As the Orioles, and that's sad considering what they did last year.
Yeah. Like the only time in the last like 10 years that I can think of is when the Padres went out and got Bogarts, Soto, and all them, and they finished at 500, like around 500, a little bit below. Because they had such high expectations, and then they spent all that money, and they didn't even make the playoffs. But then the Orioles are just absolute crap.
I think this is worse, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a shame, because it's all that we've talked about this. Like, we should reach out to all our Baltimore fans. They've been so it just feels like they've lost their window when their window is should still be open with all the young talent.
Yeah,
it's self-inflicted because they refuse to get pitching.
Yeah,
and that's what's really cost them. When someone like Zach Eflin, Philly's legend,
yes,
is he's probably the best starter on that rotation right now.
Yeah,
and he's got like a
it's not Charlie Morton
or six ERA.
Yeah,
that's not going to win you games. And Grayson Rodriguez is out.
Yeah,
and Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, they cut DFA'd Kyle Gibson after like four or five starts, and
yeah.
Another Philly is a legend.
Yeah, another Philly is a legend. Yeah, Charlie Morton, also Philly's legend.
Yeah.
And Tony Gwynn Jr.
Yeah, Tony Gwynn Jr. Yeah, that's true. His dad passed away, and he had a standing ovation, all right? Mm-hmm. You can say what you want about Philadelphia Phillies fans. Still a little bit of class, all right? Still a little bit of class. Yeah, so other than, you know, the Rockies kind of being the talk of, you know, being all these terrible teams. There are some terrible teams that have some talent that probably will be traded away at the deadline. And we're about 2 months away from the deadline, but we're a third of the way through the season. And you can kind of start to see who's real, who's fake, and you're starting to see the separation a little bit. So I saw some rumors about the Pirates that everyone is available except Skeens and Cruz. Now, do you think the Pirates would let go of Skeens or Cruz if they got a offer they couldn't refuse? Or do you think that if they got rid of Skeens, it would be they'd burn the city down? This is for both of you.
I think that for Skeens, the amount of control that they still have over his contract is going to outweigh 99.9%. Like, it would have to be an unbelievable haul for them to move on from him.
Yeah.
O'Neill, I think you send a decent trade their way and maybe they might flop on that.
Yeah.
But yeah. Skeens, they still have a lot of time with him.
Yeah, I think I was mentioning this last podcast. I could see them trading him in the offseason, possibly, but not during the season.
No.
Because then you won't have anyone show up to their ballpark the rest of the season with it.
Right.
I agree with the O'Neill Cruz thing. I think that if you got the right package, just because he hasn't lived up to expectations, really, you know, he's 6'7", like 250 pounds, and he runs faster than anyone. Like, he's just a freak of nature, but he just not that great. He's an okay player.
He's got some impressive tools, but he's not lived up to a good amount of the hype.
Yeah. What are your thoughts?
I'm in agreement. But a part of me really wants him to stay in Pittsburgh because they need like a franchise player. What was the last franchise?
Kutch.
Kutch
is the only one.
Kutch is the only one that I can think of that they've had in the last, 20 years?
Yeah. I mean, Reynolds was kind of going to be that when Kutch left.
And I think that's more of loyalty of Kutch to Pittsburgh as opposed to the other way around.
Oh, true. True.
And I mean, I could definitely see him getting, not Kutch, sorry,
Skeens getting
traded. But I think it would be for a good amount back. And not just peanuts like they usually do. A bunch of prospects from Miami or something.
It would be a Soto type haul.
Yeah.
With it.
You
think it'd be bigger?
I think that might be the biggest of all time. Like if they.
I mean, have you seen.
Mid-season, if they pull that trigger, I think.
Have you seen the haul for Soto the Washington Nationals have pulled? Like, James Wood is having a fantastic season. I'm scared. The Nationals are going to be good in a year or two. Like, they're going to be good with all that talent. Mackenzie Gore is leading the league in strikeouts. CJ Abrams is a stud. You know, he's a borderline all-star shortstop. But James Wood is ridiculous.
And I think you can say that now, having seen these guys take the field.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be kind of like the amount that they get is going to be similar. Because until players come to be who they're supposed to be based off of where they're ranked as prospects and stuff, it's all... You know, that looks like a really big haul. That's a lot of players who are ranked highly. I think it's going to be a similar level of like these players that are ranked highly But I think it's going to be bigger overall.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I've said this to you. He's a future Yankee. I just see him as a Yankee. I feel like he's a Yankee.
I'd hate that.
I know I'd hate it too, but it just he just looks like a Yankee to me.
I don't think Pittsburgh would trade him to New York.
You don't think that they would trade him to New York?
No.
Really?
No.
Why?
Because it's
New York?
Because it's New York, yeah.
I don't think there's any animosity there.
It's not the animosity aspect. It's the New York aspect, especially the Yankees aspect. I don't think they would trade him there. Unless they got a super, like, crazy package back from them.
I don't think
the Yankees would do either.
I think they trade him. I think they would only trade him to the AL. I think they would only trade him to the AL. I don't think they would trade him to the NL, especially in division. You cannot have him be in that division or in that conference in the National League because you'll see him at least possibly twice a year in Pittsburgh. Like that, you can't have that. You can only have the possibility of one every 2 years.
Yeah, you say you see him as a Yankee.
Yeah,
for whatever reason, and I don't know what these teams
don't
have
say Dodger
to offer. No,
thank God.
Please no. I see him in Texas somewhere.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. Just maybe it's the mustache. Who knows? But like, just the vibes. Like, I could just unfortunately see him in an Astros uniform.
Astros. Yeah. Oh, not the Rangers.
I mean, either.
Oh, just any team.
Either, but
either
like,
team
for some reason, like Astros, like in my head, if I try to see the future, I could see that at some point being the case.
That would be worse than the Yankees, in my opinion. Yeah, that would be worse.
It'd suck. But at the same time, like, who would have that luck? The Astros.
Yeah, the Astros.
Like, they'd find a way.
The Astros are in first place.
Yeah.
I just looked at the division. I was like, oh, the Astros are kind of hot. What? I'm like,
it's a repeat of last year because the Mariners were on top for a while, and now the Astros came back.
Alvarez isn't even back yet, is he? Or did he come back this week? Because he's been on the IL. But they just find ways.
They do.
They do. All right. Let's run through the other two guys I kind of saw some rumblings about. The Red Sox, they are 4 games under 500 right now, and they don't seem to be getting any better. Just because they've had some injuries and their pitching has been poop. But their one pitcher, their closer, who the Yankees legend, Aroldis Chapman, is having a good season. And I definitely could see them trading him away because he's a one-year deal. He's going to get you at least a good prospect back with it. Where would you see the Chapman going?
Who needs bullpen help?
The Phillies?
Other than the Phillies. I don't see us.
The Phillies?
For whatever reason. I don't see it.
You don't see it?
I don't know why. I just don't see it.
You don't see Dombrowski be like 103 miles an hour?
There's other guys that I think he would go for first.
Who would he go for first?
Who else is available?
The Baltimore guys.
Bautista and Cano.
Yep.
Mason Miller. The guy. Kenley Jansen for the Angels. And there's one other guy, Bednar from Pittsburgh.
Is what's his name in St. Louis?
Oh, they're 4 or 5. They're 6 games above 500.
Yeah,
they're in the wild card spot right now.
True.
Cardinals exceeded expectations. Like everyone thought that they were going to be terrible and trade Arenado and just rebuild. And I mean, they let go of Goldschmidt, and you know they just seem to find ways to win games, but I don't see Helsley going anywhere if they're doing well. You know, if they start falling off in the middle of the pack and they get a good offer, I could totally see it. But,
yeah.
I mean, I don't think Oakland's going to get rid of Mason Miller just because of so much club control unless they literally got, like, 2 top prospects from the farm system somewhere else. But I just don't see it. I think Mason Miller's going to be in Oakland, or not Oakland, can't even say that. The A's, he's going to be an A for a little bit longer. All right. So we don't know where Chapman's going. You don't think he's going to the Phillies?
I mean, he could. I don't think he would be, of the guys that you just listed, I don't see him being like one of the top 3.
Yeah. You know where I see him going? No. I could see that. I could see him going back to New York. Yanks. Especially if Devin Williams keeps struggling and Luke Weaver's out for longer, I could see it.
I don't.
I'm saying I could.
Especially like to undermine someone we just got from Devin Williams.
No, just if Devin Williams is good, you put Aroldis in the eighth inning spot.
they got other guys there.
Well, yeah, but it's the Yankees. They're build. They're gonna have too much. Would you rather have just a little bit of depth or a lot of depth?
A lot of depth.
Yeah, you're not gonna have to give up a top prospect for Chapman.
Chapman's not gonna be contending in an eighth spot if the closers are good.
I mean, he's done it before.
For a longer term, especially in New York, though.
I mean, did it last year with Pittsburgh.
That's in Pittsburgh.
Okay, I'm just saying. I mean, he did it in Pittsburgh. I could see him going. Unfortunately, I see him going to the Dodgers.
No, Dodgers.
Yeah, I could see him going. He's not going to be the closer in the Mets. You got Diaz.
I mean.
Yeah, I could see. He's not going to be the closer for the Dodgers.
But I was going to say, yeah.
The thing is, the Dodgers don't really do that type of, like, it's just whoever matchups with it. But I could see it. The Dodgers are gonna be like, oh, sweet, you send them, you know, a prospect that we don't care about anymore that is going to pan out, not going to pan out. Because it seems like the Dodgers prospects never pan out when they trade them. When was the last time a Dodgers prospect worked out? Gavin Lux is in Cincinnati. Cody Bellinger's with New York. Like, which player on the Dodgers has panned out? You got Dustin May, who's just coming back from injury. Like, don't trade with the Dodgers. All right, one more or two more. The Orioles, who are the most disappointing team in baseball. Just, we've talked about that before the podcast. They're just absolutely awful. Bautista and Cedric Mullins were kind of rumored a little bit in some of the talks that I had, some of the talks that I looked at this week. I could see Cedric. I could see these, both of these guys being Phillies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Easily. Center field has been just a, for the last whatever how many years, it has been just a complete black hole of figuring out who's going to play there.
Yep.
Like, would you give up Crawford in a deal for both of them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Probably. Yeah, I think Crawford would probably be like the top guy in our system that I would probably deal for.
Yeah.
Them. Yeah.
Yeah. Crawford's kind of seems to be the guy that people are more willing to put in a trade than Aiden Miller. And I mean, Painter's off limits, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't think he's going anywhere. But I could see Mick Abel going somewhere if he starts pitching well, just so that we can get a shot in the rotation with it.
Yeah.
But yeah, what are your thoughts, given that they are in your division?
You said the Phillies?
No, Bautista, with Felix Bautista and Cedric Mullins. I did say the Phillies. Yeah, I could see Cedric Mullins also going to somewhere out west too, like, because Texas has had offensive struggles. Seattle seems to always have offensive struggles. Just adding more depth with it.
I mean, Seattle's been doing a bit better on the offensive front.
Yeah,
and especially with Cal Raleigh and the season he's had so far.
Big dumper.
Yeah. I wonder if someone like Kansas City could use him.
That actually seems like a good fit. It does.
Because they're on the edge sort of right now, and their offense hasn't been too fantastic.
Yeah.
I think it would help fill a spot in the outfield, which they need.
Yeah. No, I see that. I could also see him going to Toronto, too, with Varsho going down with it, because getting more depth in that outfield, because Springer's older. I mean, Mullins is on a last year of his deal. He's 30 years old, but he's got speed. I could see him going to Toronto with it.
What's the Blue Jays record?
They're second.
31-29. They're tied with the Rays.
I mean, the NL is vastly more competitive than the AL, and it's not even close.
AL sucks.
Yeah, the AL is very average this year. You have Detroit and the Yankees pretty much leading the pack, and then you have teams that are just a couple games above 500. All right, anything else we talk about before we get into our next section? Any more general talk? Anything that just... I mean, obviously, the Rockies swept. I mean, that's the biggest news of the entire world.
Phillies are doing very well, aren't they?
Oh, they lost four straight, and then they won last night. They lost four straight because Harper was out for a while, and they left Jesus Luzardo in for too long, and a lot of other reasons.
But before that, you had the best record in baseball.
Yeah, because we played the A's, Rockies, and Pittsburgh in three consecutive series.
Well, the Yankees played a lot of teams in the American League, and then they played the Dodgers.
I know. I mean, I'm going to be the toughest critic because they're my team, but I don't believe in this team. I don't. They have to prove it to me. There's no way this bullpen can win a World Series. This offense can't deliver in the postseason the last 2-3 years. 2022 doesn't count. We didn't deserve to win that World Series. We just had a hot streak. We weren't the better team.
You didn't win that World Series.
Exactly, but we didn't deserve to win that. We were just hot. That was a run that we ran into a better team with Houston. 2023 and 2024, we were the better team on both matchups. But we ran into teams that were hotter than us, and we just couldn't deliver in the offense. I mean, I'll defend. I was talking with my dad today. I'll defend that it wasn't the bullpen's fault last year. It was the offense. You had one run lead going into this eighth inning against a playoff team, and you expect the bullpen to be perfect? Like, you just had 7 innings of Zach Wheeler throwing great ball, and the only run you had was Kyle Schwarber's solo home run. The first at bat, nothing after.
Yeah,
you can't. And all the money is in the offense, other than Wheeler and Nola. Like, all the money is in the lineup, and you get one run on the first game of the season, their first playoff game of the season against a rival at home. Pathetic. And everyone blames the bullpen. Bullpen didn't do a great job, but the offense was to blame. Do you have any thoughts on that?
That's a lot of what you said at the beginning there was stuff that I've been saying to you for the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
people really hyping up the Phillies and saying that they're going to be a great team, but us having no evidence of that them being able to get over the hill and actually finish.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's where I've kind of been since we played Houston in the World Series. Like, what about the team has gotten considerably better to the point of, yeah, now we can actually win a World Series? Nothing.
Yeah. Like,
things have gotten worse with the bullpen. What makes people think we're going to win a World Series?
Yeah.
When we've only taken a step back?
Like, yeah.
Yes, we got Luzardo. He's been great for the most part. Awesome. But we still need to make some kind of big move to get over the hill.
It needs to be a big move. It can't just be the last couple years where we go get... You know, I liked Estevez's move last year, but we need a big name to kind of like revamp and re-energize the city around the team. Because it's just, I mean, I've talked with you about this. The team's too white. We need a Hispanic guy in there.
See.
Get like a Ronald Acuna. I mean, Randy Arozarena was the guy that I wanted last year. He'd bring a lot of spunk, spunk's not the right word. I felt like he would have been the right player last year for that team. All right, let's move on because we could go on for hours and hours with that. Mm-hmm. So since we have Taylor here, he is going to lead us into some trivia. So you're going to quiz us?
Yep. I call this segment Who's on Third? So I'm going to present to you an all-time list in a specific category. You have to tell me not who's first on the list, not who's second on the list, but who is third on the list.
Interesting.
For that specific
I like that.
Okay, I like this.
I'll let you guys work together. We're going to go back and forth.
Okay.
Taking guesses. If you have 3 incorrect guesses in any category, that is an out.
Okay. Gotcha.
And that will be -1 point.
Gotcha. So we are competing.
We got points.
So we are competing against each other.
No.
Oh,
same
no.
Team.
Oh,
okay.
But
okay.
You go back and forth working together to try to get it.
Do we want to do it separate? So that we see if we can win it?
Do you want to do
that,
Michael?
No, I'd lose. Yeah, I'd lose. I can do like current statistics, like last 20 years, going back like 1980s, 1960s.
This is
70s.
All time.
Kev is far superior in
trying to help you out.
I know. That's Kev is very, very smart, everyone. He is very smart.
All right. So
shucks.
I'll give you an example because this is one that if you knew it, I'd be kind of blown away. So the example category, errors committed.
All time?
Yep.
But in a particular position or by any
all time?
All time.
Okay.
By any player.
Ideas?
I don't
all
know.
Right. So... And the thing is, you have to think of guys that have played for a long time and you play in a position. So, like, I know Ozzie Smith was, you know, the wizard, but he has to be on that list because he played so long and he got so many opportunities. He was still one of the best fielders.
It would have to be an infielder, yeah. I think. Someone who's going to get a lot of plays.
Shortstop or third is my thought for the top. I mean, again, we're thinking of third. We're not thinking of first.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We don't get any hints. This is just straight up, like, this is all-time NLAL.
I'll give you one hint.
Okay.
It's not Germany Smith.
What? It's not Jeremy Smith?
Germany Smith.
Germany Smith?
Yes.
Oh, thank goodness. Not him. Yeah. Thank you for that. Oh, that was very helpful.
I'm here to help.
Can we have the number of errors? Can actually, is that possible?
The number of errors is 1,018.
Wow.
They got to be in the Hall of Fame, I would think, that if they're going to play for that long.
Okay, that 1,018.
And here, I'll give you another hint. The number one spot is 1,096.
Okay, so that's, this divide that by 20 seasons, that's...
This is also the example.
Yeah, okay. I have no...
Ozzie Smith, like you said. We'll just go with that.
Incorrect. All right, so we won't go through all three strikes on this one because, again, I don't know any of the names of this list.
Oh, okay, all right.
So number one on this list was Herman Long.
Oh, Herman Long.
The legend.
Number two, Bill Dolan.
Bill Dolan.
Oh, that was on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah.
10,080. And then number three, which is the correct answer, would have been Deacon White.
Deacon White.
With 1,018.
What position did he play?
He's a...
Is he short? Oh, you know, okay.
He sounds like the guy you meet at church on Sunday morning who shakes your hand as you come through the door. He's the greeter.
Oh, hello.
Hello, I'm Deacon White. Good morning.
All right, so... True. So, I picked a particularly difficult one for the example, but...
Okay.
So, in that situation where you guys guessed Ozzie Smith, if you make that your official guess, it's one strike.
Those all had to have been dead ball.
Yeah, I was about
to
say.
Yeah.
I was
judge on the names.
Because I was about to say, we could probably get some stuff with the modern ball era, but not the live ball.
First name I recognize on the list is number seven, and it's Cap Anson.
I've heard of him.
Yeah.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. I don't know exactly who he was or what he did, but I recognize the name.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. How many questions are there?
I've got four categories.
Okay, gotcha.
All right, first one, easy. Layup. Easy 1 point.
Don't set it up.
Here.
We're going to fail.
No, you got it. You got it. Home runs.
Third.
This includes the steroid guys in that list?
Okay, we're not official guessing. We'll just go through it. So we got Bonds.
Aaron, Ruth.
Yeah, so it's Ruth. Wait, no.
Or no, wait, Pujols.
No, Pujols didn't go over. Pujols didn't surpass it, but he got 700. Yeah. So Pujols didn't surpass, but he got 700. Pujols is fourth. Yeah. It's Ruth.
Ruth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Babe Ruth.
Babe Ruth is correct. Yeah. There you go. All right. 1 point.
We started overthinking it. We were like, Pujols?
All right. Let's see. Next, we are going to go to losses as a pitcher.
Third. Okay. So I was thinking.
I think Nolan Ryan. I think Cy Young might be first.
Cy Young might be first. Yeah.
Because he pitched in like 800
Nolan
games.
Nolan Ryan might be up there.
I think Nolan Ryan's up there too.
Okay. Can we guess to like see which ones were eliminated, like one and two?
If you make a guess, it'll count.
Gotcha. All right. So we're trying to get third.
I think Cy Young's one.
Yeah, I think Cy Young's one. Nolan Ryan's up there. It's got to be up there.
But I'm wondering if the second might be someone like Walter Johnson or someone of Cy Young's era who
Christian
had a
Matheson.
Lot of decisions.
Christian Matheson.
I don't know if he pitched that long.
That's true. You got a point there. It's no one in the 1980, other than Nolan Ryan, I can't think of anyone that had that many losses.
Because
Cy Young had 300-plus losses.
How long did Carlton pitch for?
He's not up there.
No?
No. He's got 200-something.
Okay. Seaver?
No. He's got 200-something.
Randy Johnson?
No, he's not 300. I mean, Cy Young's definitely first. Who are some other top pitchers in the 20s, 30s, and 40s?
Well, there's like George Cleveland Alexander.
Yeah.
I don't think George was his first name.
No.
But Alexander was the name.
Do you guys want a hint?
Can we choose the hint?
No.
Oh. Sure. If you're going to give us a hint, yeah.
It is not Ipa Rixi.
These hints don't help us.
Nolan Ryan might just be our
yeah. Nolan Ryan might be guy. Yeah. Let's Nolan Ryan.
Correct.
Wow, look at that.
292. Second on the list, Pud Galvin.
Pud Galvin
with 310 and number one Cy Young.
Yeah. Who was the rest of the list?
Number four, Walter Johnson. Number five, Phil Niekro.
Oh, I was thinking Walter Niekro too.
Walter Johnson was one that I was trying to get in my head. I couldn't remember it.
Number six, Gaylord Perry. Number seven, Don Sutton.
Yeah, see, all these names were what 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s.
Well, Gaylord Perry and Don Sutton were more 70s, 80s pitchers.
Yeah, but Walter Johnson.
And Phil Niekro as well.
Yeah. All right.
You boys are two for two.
Two for two. Let's go. It's taken us a long time, but we got there.
Let's see if you can finish with some points. All right.
There we go.
Next, triples.
Triples. Okay.
Who is third on the all-time triples list?
All right. Ricky's number one.
Mm-hmm.
At least I think Ricky's number one.
Ty Cobb? He might be one or two.
I was thinking, who's the second baseman for the Roberts?
Roberts?
No, who's? Oh, Rogers Hornsby.
Yeah.
I was thinking him. Hmm. Fast. What are you thinking? Are you thinking it's early? Like, 30s, 40s.
Probably Rogers Hornsby era guy. Or who's the Hannes Wagner?
Yeah.
Two?
Yeah, that's actually might be my first guess. I'm okay with that guess.
Do you want to try that?
Yeah. Hannes Wagner.
Correct.
Wow, yeah, let's go. Nice. Three for three.
Wow.
Let's all right. Go.
First and foremost, Henderson, not on the list.
Wow, really?
Yep. Neither was Rogers Hornsby.
Wow.
Number one, Sam Crawford. Number two, Ty Cobb. Number three, Honus Wagner.
Look at that. Look at that.
Kev sweeping in at the last second.
Was Juan Pierre or Jimmy on that?
No. Juan okay. Pierre, no.
Dang.
Okay. Triples really petered off after the dead ball era.
Well, because they moved the fences in. They wanted more home runs. Yeah. Make baseball more exciting. Move the fences back. Get more triples and inside the parks home runs. Hot take.
Oh, we'll talk about more exciting baseball.
Oh, that's right. Soon.
All right.
Last one.
So you guys are guaranteed at least 1 point. We'll go to the final category.
Let's go. We're on the board.
Steals.
So Ricky's number one.
I think Lou Brock is two.
Okay.
Final category.
All right.
Oh, who is that guy who played for the Giants, I think, like in the 60s?
Willie Mays?
No. And not Willie McCovey. It was like Billy Hamilton or...
Oh, yeah, that's a good guess. Yeah, it might be Billy Hamilton. You actually might be right.
That's the only other name I could think of that might have steals numbers that high.
Only people I'm thinking of for some reason are Juan Pierre and Jimmy. For some reason, I'm only thinking of those
could
guys.
Could be Juan Pierre, too.
Juan Pierre's got like 640 or something like that career. Which is up there, but I don't know where he lands in it.
There might also be another Cardinal or what was his name?
Was it position?
It was the outfield. Like
for outfield for the Giants?
No, for the Cardinals. For the Cardinals? It was like in the 80s, and he had that freak injury where he got his ankle rolled over by like one of those tarp rollers.
Ooh.
And he couldn't play in the World Series because of it. He stole like 100 bases that year.
You want to go with Billy Hamilton? That name sounds good.
Sure.
Billy Hamilton.
Four for four.
Whoa, let's go. Let's go.
Good job. Yep. Ricky Henderson, number one. Lou Brock, number two. Billy Hamilton, number three. Ty Cobb, number four. And Tim Raines, number five.
Oh, Tim Raines. Yeah. Yankees legend.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Expos.
I would like to give a credit to Kev. Really pulled that right there. That is not a lot of my effort. That was a lot of Kev right there.
I needed your input too.
I know, but yeah, I think that was think you would have been in four for four. I don't think I would have been four for four. I think I probably would have been one for four with it. So good job.
Impressive
good job.
Work.
Thank you, sir.
That's who's on third.
Yep. Thank you. That was fun.
That was
fun.
Thank you for that, man.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
We need to do more trivia, I think. You know, I'd like to get feedback from people too. You know, when we've done trivia, have you enjoyed listening to trivia when Kevin and I quiz each other?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't really get a ton of feedback from people. They're just like, hey, podcast is fun. Yeah. Yeah. Nothing crazy. All right. Now we're getting into the junk ball section. Now, Taylor is here for a special reason. So one thing about Kevin and I, we are kind of old school baseball guys, kind of as baseball purists, for quote unquote, lack of a better term. Don't like a lot of change, just how it is. You know, we called each other boomers before, just how it is. Taylor, a little bit more open to changing the game a little bit. And, you know, once we're done this, I do have some thoughts in my head that I wanted to talk with you about. Just, you know, maybe we'll get to them based off of this. Mm-hmm. But Taylor is, do you want to explain it? Do you want me to go through it with it?
You go ahead.
All right. So Taylor is here to kind of give us a Shark Tank vibe, what we are calling the pitch, where he's going to give us some ideas to improve baseball or make it more fun and to see whether or not Kev and I would invest in that. Now, Kev, let's put on our, you know, suits, our billions of dollars that we have, make sure that we're making fine investments. We're going to listen to Taylor pitch his ideas.
Going back to the when you guys were commissioner for a day.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Thank you for having me, commissioners. Today I would like to present to you four pitches on things that I think will improve Major League Baseball. First and foremost, I'm just going to get it out of the way because we've talked a little bit about it in the past. The mule.
What's the mule?
So, what was the most exciting era of baseball?
Steroid era.
The steroid era. Yep. The home run race.
Sosa, McGuire.
Sosa, yep. McGuire. They were juiced out of their minds and hitting balls as far as you've ever seen. So, the mule is a concept in which one player per major league team has the privilege of partaking in steroids. There are a few things that, you know, have to be in line here.
Yeah.
They have to be the DH for that team.
Okay.
So they can't be in the field.
Okay.
And just to clarify, a mule can't be a pitcher either then.
Correct. Yep. It has to be a hitter.
Yeah, okay. Otani's out of here.
So you can't have like a Clemens or anyone on the team. It's got to be someone who hits. No,
it's all about the offense, baby.
Yeah.
So the mule has to be the DH. There is a short list of acceptable substances that they're allowed to take. We're going to have regulations. It's not going to be willy-nilly. People aren't going to be taking low-grade horse tranquilizers or anything like that. It's going to be legit.
Just give him whatever Bonds was getting.
Yeah, that was great. Very effective. In the case of injury, each team is allowed to have one guy in their farm system who is the backup mule. If both mules end up getting injured, that team is unfortunately just out of luck until one of them comes back from injury.
Does this backup mule have to be in a certain level of minor league baseball? Like, did they have to be in AAA?
AAA, yep.
So they can't be sitting in AA at some point. No. They got to be in AAA.
They're waiting.
So
in
case the one gets hurt, they could be called up right away.
Yep. It's a straight shot. So let's say in the case of the Phillies.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Nick Castellanos be our mule.
Yeah, he hasn't hit any home runs.
He doesn't hit any home runs, and he's got the attitude of a mule, if you ask me.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah,
right?
He'd be fun. He'd be fun to watch. So let's say Casty is our mule. We decide for whatever reason we're going to let him go. He has to either spend an entire year getting off the juice before he can re-enter for another team as a regular baseball player, or he has to continue to juice and can be the mule for another team.
Okay, gotcha.
So there has to be a period in which they can basically get clean.
Okay. What if the other teams want them to be the mule?
Then
that's fine?
Then they can just continue the process and do what they got to do.
Okay.
But during that year when they have off, the team that released them has to pay them league minimum, whatever.
Okay,
so
gotcha.
They're compensated for their work.
Okay.
It's part of the risk that you assume being the mule.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You got to take care of these guys. They're, you know, the cream of the crop athletes at this point. There are cash cows.
I was about to say, it sounds like they would probably demand, if you were having like agents involved, like they would demand more money up front versus committing to a longer term deal with it.
Yep.
Like I feel like the contract negotiation would be very difficult.
There's some risk to it for sure. Yeah. You know, it kinks would need to be worked out. But in general, that is the idea of the mule.
Okay.
Bring steroids back into baseball in a regulated and safe way in which we get to watch Nick Castellanos and Giancarlo Stanton hit 500-foot home run.
It actually might keep him healthy.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Ben Rice might be exciting to see with steroids.
Yeah,
that's true. But as a commissioner, what is the standard, you said in a healthy way, do you have an idea of what healthy looks like? Because I don't want to keep going to court and paying all these legal fees time after time from all like the players and their families after they retire because of the health consequences of becoming a mule. So how do we ensure the player's safety?
I mean, part of it would be a specific mule contract in which some of that is, you know, waived, like the league's liability and all of it. Like they have to agree to it.
Okay.
But other than that, it is going to involve doing some research into what the safest, you know, kinds of steroids you can take that have the least long-term side effects and all that kind of stuff. And so, like I said, you gotta do a little bit extra, and it's not going to be an easy slide into it, but it's a fun way.
My one question just goes back into kind of like the steroid era, how, you know, Bonds, Sosa, McGuire, they're not on the Hall of Fame. They kind of have like an asterisk next to their name. Are these statistics going to be counted? Like, are they going to be viewed towards like have the same type of, you know, say if they do well, are they going to be like, oh, like, you know, this position was a mule and they're in the hall. Like, do you see it being something where they can be entered in the Hall of Fame? Or do you think it's more of, this is kind of your job. You're going to get praise and money, but you're not going to get fame out of this because like in turn, like a baseball Hall of Fame out of this.
I'd say we give them their own wing in the Hall of Fame, their own little stable on the side.
A stable.
And then you could throw the guys like Bonds in there.
just throw them into the, just throw all the guys for the steroid era. Yep. All right, fine. Get in the stool. Get in the.
Yep. All right.
The steroid stable.
Yeah. There you go. Yep. And they have their own category.
All right. So would you like us to say yes or no to whether or not we'd invest it now?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. Do you want to go first? Or you want me to go first?
I like the idea. I think it would definitely boost attendance because one of our jobs as a commissioner is to help bring fans and revenue into the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And this is definitely a way to do that. I would like to see, like with the pitch clock and with the ghost runner and all these different rules we've been implementing, sort of a trial run perhaps in the minor leagues. So I would approve it on the condition that it gets a couple years of a trial.
Absolutely.
In AAA baseball before we implement it permanently in the major leagues.
Literally have human test subjects. It's part of
Hey.
Hey, minor league year, you're doing really bad. You want to take some steroids and become a mule?
For the love of the game.
For the love of the game. My gut says yes. My heart says no right now. Mm. Yeah. And for some reason, I've been going with my gut recently. So I feel like it would be a fun... I'm kind of with Kev, like there'd have to be a lot of trial stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I actually don't see it like actually coming to fruition just because of the contract situation, liability, all that. But in terms of theory and idea, I absolutely love it. Like it's a great idea.
Yep.
Fantastic idea. So I would invest, but I'd have one foot in, kind of 1 foot halfway out the door with it.
Fair enough.
But I like the idea. It'd be a fun idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. The baseball purist in me is definitely sad right now, but yeah, no. Okay, let's go to the next one.
I'll take it. All right, that's a win for me. Okay. Next thing. This one, I went on a little bit goofier side. I'm going to come back to something a little bit more serious, something I think that both of you guys will get behind. All right, so in, I'm going to take a sport that neither of you enjoy, I'm pretty sure, but has a really good idea. And I'm going to tweak it a little bit, tweak it a good amount, and then present to you something that I think you're really going to like. So, in soccer, there is this...
You're correct. I hate that sport.
...idea. There's this thing that they do called relegation, where the bottom teams get sent down a league at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So, given the number of teams and the quality drop from AAA to the major leagues, I didn't really think that was realistic. But what I came up with is the idea of fund relegation, F-U-N-D. So the bottom four teams, or six, you know, it could be either, depending on how we want to do this, each year are given a salary floor that they must reach for each of the next two seasons.
Hmm.
Falling into the bottom four teams for two consecutive seasons will result in a 20% loss of the revenue share. Each year after that, you get 10% added to that loss. So if you're in the bottom four teams for 4 years in a row, you're looking at having that salary floor that you have to use, plus you are out 40% of your normal revenue share.
Yes.
Then hopefully it will incentivize the Rockies, the Pirates, the Marlins, all these terrible teams to A, spend money on some stars, B, get their stuff together and not just be these poverty franchises that we know them to be year after year after year, so that hopefully we have a competitive league across the board as more teams are spending money and more owners are trying to avoid losing money in their pockets.
Yeah. Hmm. So as a commissioner, my job is to also be in the best interest of the owners, and that is not in the best interest of my owners, but gosh, I love that idea so much. That's one of the best ideas I've ever heard with terms of, because you're right, you can't send down the Rockies to AAA. You just can't, in terms of the players union, all that type of stuff. You just can't with it. I think this could be done, I think, with some tweaks. I don't know right off the top of my head with it, but I do agree with the concept. And with that, I'd be on board as a commissioner because I think it's workable. Whereas while there is a penalty, I mean, the Rob Manfred doesn't want his owners losing money. His job is to make every single owner happy with it. So in terms of if we're playing commissioner, Kev, like, this is not a great... I mean, if Manfred's going out, like, he can go out with a bang and be like, yeah, screw you guys, like, whatever. But this concept, I love it.
Yeah,
I love it.
I'm in a similar boat. I guess one of the things I'm thinking about is, how are we measuring, like, the bottom teams and how much they spend? Because, I mean, the trend nowadays is, like, you know, the worst teams aren't spending that much money. Though we do have the anomalies, too, of... teams who really go all in, spend hundreds of millions of dollars, and then they're really trying, and it just turns out terrible. So is there a standard of, like, how much money you spend as well as quality, or is it primarily quality or, like, number of losses you have?
So I would say that you set a, like, you kind of set a salary floor line that isn't a hard line. And so as long as you're above that, so let's say, I mean, we talked about the Padres and earlier and how they spent a lot of money and then just didn't have a great team. Like, sometimes that happens, but they had the money invested and they were clearly trying to win.
Yeah. And they've retooled with it too. So, like, they've been trying. It's not like they tried 1 year like the Marlins did that 1 year and then just didn't try again for years.
Right.
Yeah.
But in the case of, like, the Rockies this year, they have a very low, you know,
Chris Bryant's
their most, and, like, the Marlins, like,
yeah,
right,
how much money they're spending, and they're,
it's terrible.
They just got swept by the Rockies, like,
yeah. I would definitely be open to looking into this further. Probably send it off to some committee. We'll make one up and we'll do further research and we'll come back to you with our thoughts.
Yeah.
But I'm definitely open to the idea. I like it in principle because it incentivizes teams to actually try to be better.
Yeah, we've talked about it the last like 3 or 4 podcasts. I feel like just talking about how these poverty franchises are ruining the parity of the sport because you just have all these top level teams because of the revenue sharing. That's the main thing, because you have a team like the Marlins, don't spend any money. They're still going to end with a profit because they're not risking any money in it, because they get a profit of the Yankees, the Dodgers, the Phillies, all those teams that are spending money and earning it. Oh, God, it's so frustrating.
Right. And this wouldn't be something that is like just thrown in next season. This is something that like you give the ownership warning, like, hey, 3 seasons from now,
yeah,
this is going into effect.
Yeah.
You have 3 seasons to get your stuff together.
Yeah.
Then from there,
I might even say 5.
Yeah. So, you know,
just so that way you can develop.
Grace period. Yeah. Like, hey, prospects got to come up, you know, yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Lock it. I mean, who knows? Maybe the Dodgers will have all the expensive players in a couple seasons and then it'll be really tough. But
it's just like, it's Japan AAA pretty right. much.
Yeah. And so you give them a grace period to adjust, to prepare, and then to go into it. And then, like I said, like it doesn't start hitting their wallets. And, you know, maybe it gets to the point where, like, everybody's clearly putting in the effort. And then so you can remove the clause about losing the revenue share. Okay. Like,
yeah,
it's adaptable. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I like it.
All right. Good. 2 for 2. All right. This next one is it's not a goofy one, but I think it is a fun one.
Yeah.
So this one I'm calling the mid-season power series.
Okay.
So it's a 5-game series leading into the All-Star break in which opponents are matched based off of their record in each league.
Okay.
So the number one team in the NL would play the number one team in the AL, the number two team, and it's based off of record.
Mm-hmm.
And then if there's ties, go based off run differential, those kind of things.
Okay.
And at the end of each of those series, based off of the winners, an official, doing air quotes, mid-season power ranking is released. And going into the All-Star break, you use that as your kind of official power ranking for the league. So, like before you said, mm-hmm. does that make the Marlins worse than the Rockies since they got swept by the Rockies, even though the Rockies have a worse record? That kind of stuff goes into account. But also, think about like all of the potential series. Some would be really good. Some would be less great. But you do promotions during those games. My thought is you do some mandatory dollar dog nights across the league for that to get attendance for the worst teams.
Yes.
Bring them back. Make them mandatory.
That's, yeah.
And so you have a lot of fun. You kind of market it as almost being like a league-wide part of the All-Star break, but it is still serious ball in which like
mm-hmm.
the games go towards your record.
Okay.
Overall. And so it's just kind of like a fun lead up and like almost potential preview for the postseason.
Okay.
Just to develop some hype.
It kind of reminds me of the play-in tournament for the NBA a little bit.
That's a little bit of the inspiration, like okay. the mid-season tournaments in other sports, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Just to generate some hype, maybe some potential, you know, postseason feel mid-season.
Okay. I don't know how I feel about it right now. I need you to talk first.
I guess this is where a little bit more of the traditional part of me comes into play. Because the one thing that I think baseball has above the other sports right now is the All-Star game. I think baseball does have the best version of it. It's the most classic one. I think it's the one that people care about the most. I mean, who cares about... I mean, the NFL doesn't even have a Pro Bowl anymore. People care so less about
Pro Bowl games.
And the NBA one's becoming a joke. I don't know how the NHL does it, but...
NHL one's pretty good.
I've heard that too, but I don't know too much about it. I guess I'm just skeptical about tinkering around with that.
I mean, to be clear, it's not removing the All-Star. It's just the last five games leading up to the All-Star break. So the All-Star break remains as it is.
Yeah.
It's just adding some, like I said, some potential hype around the league for specific matchups.
I guess my question would be, like, obviously people, like, when they release the power rankings, like, I'm like, okay, who cares? Like, I don't like when my team's number one power ranking. I'm just like, all right, we're not. So, like, what's the incentive for players and teams to, like, is there, like, a reward, like a trophy or something like that, or just to be at the top of the power ranking?
The games count towards your regular record.
So, well, I know.
You're going to want to, like,
well, I know that, but, like, other than just winning the games, is there any other incentive other than just saying, all right, we're the number one team?
I did consider, you know, kind of potentially doing what the NBA does, where, like, you know, players get a little boost.
Yeah, a little boost.
A little boost in revenue.
Yeah.
Just a...
Yeah.
But it doesn't actually count toward the final results.
No, the games count towards the record.
Yeah, the games are official.
Yeah.
Like, part of the 162.
Yeah. But it's not like the NBA midseason tournament where you have, like, a midseason champion for Major League Baseball in July.
No.
It's just like the top dog heading into the All-Star break.
I think if you marketed it the right way, it would be good. I'm probably out on this one just for now. But I think there could be, like, I'd be like, all right now I don't see it. I could see in the future, just figuring out a way how to market that and make sure that the players are on board. And so that way, because it's kind of like, reminds me of, I said it poorly last time, a rivalry weekend where, like, there was, like, a lot of trying to get a lot of hype, but the matchups were just bad with it. There was a couple good matchups. But if you set together, like, okay, this is what we're going to do, because I could see it as, like, a three-game series weekend before the All-Star break with it, or almost like that week where you have, like, almost a three-game series where it's one game or two games at the home team's player and then one game to finish it out, possibly. Kind of like a mini playoff series with it, and kind of just like, all right, this is now, like, there's got to be some incentive. I feel like draft picks could be involved with it. Like, because then it incentivizes you to be better as a team. Like, hey, you know what?
But when you want the bottom teams to get the draft picks?
I'm saying not, like, necessarily that you get, like, maybe you get an extra first round pick, like, you know, or something like that. So it incentivizes teams in the future to actually be good so that way you can build your farm system. I don't know. It's just an idea. Yeah. So right now I'm out, but I could be in.
In our last podcast episode, we were talking about how to bring younger people in to watch baseball and some ideas to maybe get some input into it. And I like the idea from your perspective of, you know, adding interest to it so people will watch and people will care about it. And it's not just like we're playing a couple of scrimmage games at the end just so, you know, to go into the All-Star game easy. I'm kind of in a similar boat as Michael right now. I'm not 100% sure about it, but I definitely want to mull over that some more, maybe tweak it, because I do like the idea of adding interest around the All-Star game, but I don't want to go too far like the NBA does, where it's just a joke.
Absolutely.
I think there is a middle ground there. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what it is right now.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Last one?
Yep. Last one. All right. This one. We talked about this a couple times in the past. It's time for robot umpires.
You don't have to say anymore. I'm in.
Let's go.
I'm in. So here's my stipulation. I know I'll let you finish, and then I'll explain my stipulation. You explain.
I want you to
go through your pitch. Okay. You know, this is your thing.
Specifically, an automated strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
recently, within the last couple weeks, maybe a week, of filming this, recording this podcast. Padres, Pirates, eighth inning, full count, bases loaded. Pirates are down one.
Yep.
Ump blows the call, and the Pirates batter is called out on a ball.
Correct.
That should not happen. In those high leverage situations, and you can go back and you could say the Pirates should have done more in other times. It doesn't always come down to just one pitch, but at the same time, it can. And if it can, it shouldn't.
Yeah.
There's no reason, and the reason that you always gave me, Michael, was there has to be that human element.
Mm-hmm.
The human element can still exist. It doesn't have to exist there. Umpires can still be there to call safe at the plate, fair foul, enforce other rules, but the strike zone itself can be fully automated and the game would only improve. Pitchers would have to be better because the strike zone would be legitimate. Batters would also have to be better, and then both sides could rest easy knowing that they're getting called fairly.
Mm-hmm.
And overall, I think the quality of the game improves also for the umpires because they have less scrutiny on them for the thing that they are get the most heat for.
Yeah.
Which is calling an accurate game
mm-hmm.
behind the plate.
Yeah.
So everyone benefits from an automatic strike zone.
Yeah.
That's my pitch.
I mean, you just look at baseball history and all the terrible calls there have been. And Tito, like, you know, in the World Series with missed perfect games. I think the most egregious ones I've ever seen are the missed strike calls when people like Forrest Gregg had that Levon Hernandez strike somewhere. He got like 17 strikeouts, but most of those strikeouts were on balls like 6 feet out of the strike zone. Yeah. And that was in a playoff game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like imagine, and that was on the Marlins run to the World Series. So if they didn't have that win, who knows how that rest of that postseason could have played out.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm absolutely on board with correcting that because it changes not only the games, it changes the playoffs, it changes teams, it changes the fortunes of the players on the team, ownership, managers, everybody. It's not just limited to balls and strike calls.
Yeah.
And I'll also add it with the caveat that I want to remove the rule that arguing balls and strikes leads to an automatic ejection. So if we have automated strike zones now, we should get rid of that rule because there's no need to have that anymore.
You could just flip around an iPad and be like, yep, it was right there. Yeah. Sorry, don't know what to tell you.
So, I'm ironically, that game was also where I was like, yeah, I think I might be on board with automated strike zones. Now, here's my caveat to this. I do not think it's going to happen anytime soon because of the umpires union with it. Because if they have no stake in the game, then their salaries, you can just go get some, we could go do it. What incentivizes?
They still have to call safe and but call the rest of the rules.
So you're saying that.
They're still on the field. They're still there.
So let me take this a step further. How would you feel about like, I don't know the technology term, but like kind of like sensors to recognize when a ball goes in a glove? Versus when the batter touched first base first for like a ground out. So that way, like in the umpire's ear at first base, he has like a different sound for based off of that. You still think that would be, is that too far?
I don't really think that's necessary, especially with the current review system. Like, I don't feel like those are calls that are
okay
as often.
Okay.
Affecting the game in such a negative way.
But you only get one chance. So say if, because I remember against the Phillies had against the Braves wanted to challenge it. They didn't have any challenges left. So like, there goes that. That changes the game because the Phillies won that game by one run. So that could change it.
I mean, you can improve that system for sure. The system of challenging and reviews and whatnot for sure. But I think for the most part, like if you switch the robot up to automatic strike zone.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily like fully automatic robot umpires. It sounds like to me it's a giant safety net.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
like, if there's any calls that are missed, we could just review it right yeah. away. Correct. Because last year I went to a Lehigh Valley Iron Pigs game, and they've implemented the strike zone in the minor leagues. And the challenge system's really quick. Like, all they have to do is just, like, do the tap on
yeah,
the head.
Yeah, it's like tennis. It's perfect.
They did that a couple times in that game, and they, like, overturned a couple calls in, like, 5 or 10 seconds. Right. Yeah, really so fast.
Just
yeah.
get rid of the reason to review and just yeah. have the time that the pitcher has to get reset and yeah. take the pitch.
Yeah.
Just automatically yeah. sense whether or not the last pitch was a strike or ball.
Yeah. No, I ironically, like, I used to be totally against it. Like, a year ago, I was still against it.
Yep.
Like, I could see myself starting to, like, yeah, it's really frustrating. Like, I want to keep it as pure as possible, like, human element. So that way, it's still a sport and not just, like, a, you know, the technology part isn't, like, making it constrained or something like that. You know, there's not a lack of emotion or fire in it. Because sometimes when a manager, like what you said, the get the balls and strikes thing back so that way you don't have to get ejected. Like, there used to be managers that would fire up their team and because of a bad strike call, and you know, you don't see many ejections anymore. So there's a lot of, like, the passion of it. Obviously, getting the calls right is more important, but and that's where I'm starting to lean with it. Yeah. So I think we have to figure out, you know, where's the strike zone, like, cuz sometimes that's the hardest part, because the letters are different on every jersey. And so is it, like, you know, right below their chest? Because every person is different. Aaron Judge versus Jose Altuve, very different strike zone. So, like, I don't know how I don't know the technology where they do it, but
I think you have probably a team in a
yeah
booth somewhere
yeah.
who has a camera, and then they can adjust.
Yeah.
And so
it seems like they do that on television already. Like yeah. they adjust yeah. the strike zones to yeah. whoever's at the
box
plate.
Is pretty yeah. accurate. Yeah. On the
has there ever been a time where it's broken or like faulted? Because that's where I might be like curious about it. Like, oh,
I don't know.
Oh, the game fault. Oh, the technology faulted. We got to go old school. Where like
that's right. So be it. Yeah. Like,
all right. I'm just throwing out ideas yep. that are coming to the top of my head. Coming to the top of my head. I can't talk today. All right. So. You're into?
I am, yeah.
Dang.
3 for 4. I'll take it. This is the part when I will say all of these pitches combined will accept $1 billion for 2% of my company.
What's your company?
Making baseball better.
Okay.
Thank you, commissioners.
Put into consideration.
Yes.
I like
you'll
that.
Hear back from us in 5 years, 6 years.
Yeah. We'll
see. We
got to get some money first.
We're trying to streamline the bureaucracy.
Well,
and that's his.
Well, Manfred's leaving. So we have a couple years to campaign, get some money, get close with the owners
yeah.
and try to market ourselves into the commissioner's role. So,
lovely.
Yeah.
I look forward to the check.
Yeah. I think we'd hire you.
Yeah.
I think you'd be part of some. We would definitely hire you in some capacity.
Yeah.
If I was commissioner, I would.
Heck yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. That was fun. I liked that.
Thank
that
you.
Was fun. Let us know what you think. You know, would you agree to all of these? Would you agree to none of them? Or are you like Kevin and I, 3 for 4 on some of them? Did we agree on all of them and disagree on the one? Same ones?
I think we did.
Gosh, we are we're the same.
Mm-hmm.
But he's a lot smarter, but again. My computer died. Thank you for that. That was
my
a lot
pleasure.
Of fun.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. So we're going to finish out podcast with a hot take. And I was thinking about this. So it's my hot take. It's my turn. I was thinking about this today. And we talked about this team earlier in the trade deadline. Talking about the Boston Red Sox. You know, they think they might get rid of Chapman. There were already kind of rumblings about a certain player that they have under contract for the next 8-9 years who didn't want to switch positions because he's kind of had some rumblings in the front office and how it's kind of been a negative turn. Rafael Devers, I could see him being traded 100% before the deadline.
Is that your hot take?
That's my hot take. I don't know how hot it is.
It's pretty cold, buddy.
That might be one of the colder ones.
Really? But because he's a...
Ever since they signed Bregman, they've been talking about trade rumors for Devers.
I just got chills.
Okay. Cold. Hold on. Pretty hold cold. On a second. Hold on a second. The reason why I felt like it was more of a hot take was because he has so much money invested in it. And I don't think that... I don't think... Because Bregman's got one... It's a one-year deal with options. So Bregman's could be gone with it. And if you trade Devers, who do you have other than Jaren Duran? And you just signed Crochet. So they basically would be in a rebuild with it. They'd have to restart again. And they had Jordan Anthony and their other shortstop that they'd have to bring up. If they got rid of Devers, it'd be a reset. And that fan base is already pissed off at them. And I don't think that them trading Devers... Like, I think that Red Sox fans are more loyal to Devers than they are to ownership. And I think that... You don't think so?
I'm looking at Kev because he's in that division.
I think that... I know there were, like, rumors about it, so it's not as, like... It's not the spiciest. I'll say that. But if that happened, we'd all be surprised.
I would not be.
You would not be surprised?
No, I would not because... The moment they signed Bregman, like he.
But it's not a long term deal. No, it's just a 1 year deal.
No,
I don't
but he was he was not happy at all with being moved and not playing third base anymore.
I agree, but he's still under contract.
Cora was even in his press conferences talking about how upset Devers was, and there were rumors abound of him being traded.
Yeah, but then the ownership came in and basically calmed him down and all that, and they were like, "Oh, let's work together."
But even after Bregman got hurt, they're not moving on the third base.
Well, yeah, but I think the reason why if they traded him, it would be a bad thing and a hot take is because they basically... Bregman's not there next year. I don't see him there next year.
No?
I think he's going to opt out and he's going to get money somewhere else.
He plays fantastic at Fenway.
It's fine. I think some team's going to see like, oh, Bregman had a pretty good year. That's, you know what? Let's sign him. I just think that if they got rid of Devers... Bregman's going to leave too because, all right, well, Devers is gone. Why would I want to play for Boston with it?
Because you would be the starting third baseman.
Yeah. Well, he already is a starting third baseman.
Devers? No.
No, Bregman.
Oh, Bregman, yeah.
Yeah, Bregman. Like, I don't see Bregman being like, especially with a team that's just kind of been mediocre to average the last, what, since 2018?
They had some pretty high hopes coming into this year.
Exactly, and they've failed. So why would Bregman want to come back when he knows he can probably go get, you know, $150 million somewhere
because
else?
Because even though the Red Sox have struggled this year, they're not in a total rebuild mode.
And
they have the best farm system in Major League Baseball.
But that's why I'm saying if they traded Devers, I think if they traded Devers, Bregman's gone too. Yeah. And so is probably Walker Buehler.
I think if they trade Devers, they could put themselves in an even better position based off of what they get for him.
Because of money?
Money and then also what they would get, who they would get back for him.
Yeah. See, I didn't think it was, I know there were rumors about it earlier, but I still feel like I would be surprised if he was traded. Because they locked him up to, because of the big contract, you don't see those big contracts being traded, especially when they signed him to be the centerpiece of that team.
But they could get a decent amount back for Devers.
Oh, I agree. But not the haul of like a Soto or any of that, which was probably what they'd be asking for.
Do they need that huge of a haul?
Yeah, I would.
With their farm? I mean,
they've locked Devers up. He's a great player. And, you know, all right, I guess it's not that hot take. I guess it's just not that hot.
Nope.
I can't win them all. All right, we're ending on a cold streak here.
Pretty brisk, if you ask me.
You know what? We're just trying to cool things down because it's getting hot out. All right, that's just my thought process. All right, this is whatever. My computer died again with a cold take. This is a perfect way to end a podcast. Well, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun as always. Fun of full light. You're always fun of always full of fun ideas. Yeah, I'm just gonna end the podcast. Kev, you ended. I'm done.
Well, you are always fun of full ideas, and it is a pleasure to have you on here, and you've been a big supporter of us as a podcast, always giving us feedback when we need it, both positive and things that we can improve on constructively, so we definitely appreciate that, too.
I'll tell you when Michael sucks, yeah.
Yeah. All right, I guess we'll end it on that. Thank you for listening, everyone.